Welcome to this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Today, we start another of our series about Bainbridge Prepares, which we will be publishing every other week, starting in June into July. My guests today are Anne Lesage and Laura Samant, and I'd like to welcome you both. And let's talk about what you guys do with Bainbridge Prepares.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So I'm Anne Lesage, and I'm the Emergency Management Coordinator for the City of Bainbridge Island. And the city is one of the three organizations that make up our preparedness partnership. So the city, the Bainbridge Island Fire Department, and then Bainbridge Prepares, our community nonprofit. And so a lot of my work intersects with our volunteer groups and teams, which you'll hear more about throughout this multi-part podcast series.
Yes. Okay.
I'm Laura Samant, and I'm the lead for the Ready Congregations program at Bainbridge Prepares, which is working to help congregations, faith-based groups on the island and in North Kitsap to get ready for whatever may come in the future, but also to coordinate with other efforts to make our community ready. And this, I think, is a really interesting way where the partnership of the city and Bainbridge Prepares as a nonprofit, because we work with faith-based groups, but government cannot work with faith-based groups. So by having this coordination, we're able to all work together and coordinate and all go push in the same direction. So
well, right away, I have lots of questions about that. You know, how you do all that. Are there representatives from each of the faith organizations that come together and talk about how to best interact with each other?
You know, this is a new program at Bainbridge Prepares. We're just getting started. Our goal is really to help congregations get prepared in among themselves, so they're ready, their house of worship stays safe, their community stays safe, but also to faith-based groups have always been leaders after disasters and helping people to get back on their feet and to really harness that energy for our community and, coordinate all our efforts together.
And on your end of things, I mean, as you describe what your responsibilities are at the city, it sounds like a big job.
It can be. I mean, certainly, pre-pandemic, which now I feel like my whole career is going to be defined as pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, but pre-pandemic, it was really focused on preparing the community for wildfires, earthquakes, winter storm, extreme heat. And then, of course, we shifted during the pandemic to use our partnership and partner with the Bainbridge Island Community Pharmacy to offer vaccine clinics and our community-based test site. And so there was a lot more public health response that became a part of my job. And then now that things are hopefully continuing to go in the right direction with the pandemic, we're focusing back on earthquake preparedness and preparing our neighborhoods and our congregations and all of the things that really look to what we call all hazards planning so that regardless of the type of disaster, we're all prepared for whatever comes our way next.
Yeah, I know the first thing, of course, when I think about Bainbridge Prepares, of course, I think earthquake. But there are all these other possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. I think earthquake is what comes top of mind to a lot of people as well. But our wildfire risk, especially in Western Washington over the last 4 or 5 years, has increased. Our risk of tornado has increased. We had one touchdown a couple years ago. We had the warning earlier, a few months ago. And our severe weather, we've had much more extremes on both ends. So part of what we do is prepare for winter warming centers and summer cooling centers when we have extreme temperatures and kind of everything in between. So I mentioned earlier, it's that all hazards approach of really anything can and probably will happen. And so we're trying to make sure that everyone who lives and works on Bainbridge is ready.
Yeah, sure. One thing that we're doing in our neighborhood is really working pretty hard on getting the Map Your Neighborhood program going and really running with it. We were actually working on it right before or pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of slowed down a little bit. I mean, things were different. And, you know, you couldn't be sitting down and mapping out ideas and going house to house and everything. But now it's kind of rejuvenated. And, we're getting letters out and sending packets of sunflower seeds to all the neighbors to get them fired up for getting together again. And
that's great.
And that's lovely.
Yeah.
Having some plans. So
yeah, we're really seeing an increase in requests. So we did offer Map Your Neighborhood training on Zoom over the last couple of years.
Yes.
It's certainly not the same as getting together with your neighbors and meeting in person, looking at a map of your community. So, you know, we were able to offer this online, and I think we were able to sign up probably around 20, 25 new households over the last couple of years. But now that people are ready to get back in person and have people come into their households, we're seeing those requests come back in, and I'm really excited to get back out into the community and have more neighborhoods join. And I think the process of mapping, getting a physical map of your neighborhood, looking at all of the different addresses, understanding where propane tanks are located and your utility shutoffs are located, and being able to understand this is the layout of your neighborhood, and then talking with one another about, hey, so-and-so down the street's a doctor and they have extra set of skills, or this person owns a chainsaw and they're willing to use that chainsaw to help cut down trees if needed.
Yeah.
And so really understanding the assets that exist within your neighborhood and how we're going to help one another after an incident is really important. And that's the foundation of really everything we do, is if every street, every household is prepared, then as an island community, we're going to be that much better off, so that we can help people who are stuck here after a major earthquake. So maybe the bridge is down and there's no ferry and we have tourists here. We have that high school soccer team stuck at Battle Point, yeah, whatever that looks like, right? We want to make sure that we're able to provide those resources after something happens.
I was thinking that there may be people listening to this podcast and saying, hey, we should get with it in our neighborhood. There's nothing going on here. What do they do?
Yeah, so it's quite simply, it's an email to me. So alesage@bainbridgewa.gov. If you need to look up my information, I'm on the city website, bainbridgewa.gov. And usually I have them, you know, send me their address, so I'm able to pull it up on a map, get a sense of if they're a defined HOA, if it's a single street. Typically, we like to map anywhere between 10 and 20 households, so it's manageable to help them write their plan. And then we find a date and time where most of the neighborhood's available. And I mentioned we can offer the training on Zoom, or we can come out and have the training in person. And we provide an overview of how to get yourself prepared. This is what the Map Your Neighborhood program is. And then some next steps that they follow up on to help write their plan.
I hope people really take advantage of this and learn how to do it, because you not only get to know your neighbors, and that's really fun in its own right. Mm-hmm. And we have a pretty good neighborhood anyway. We have, you know, July 4th, or we did for a while, parties and so forth.
Hopefully this year.
Yeah, exactly. But I, for instance, we've got a really great email set up now, so within the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And one of your write-ups came through just yesterday, I think. And the person who heads up the email group sent it on to everybody.
Yeah, so yeah, we try to stay engaged. We have quarterly meetings with our block captains or our neighborhood captains.
Yeah.
I try to send out just snippets of preparedness information every month or every other month. You know, I try not to completely overwhelm people with information, but I try to get information out to the captains, and then they pass it along to the whole neighborhood on just different tips and tricks on getting prepared or training events that are coming up in the community.
Laura, I realize that the congregations, can I call it the congregations movement or whatever,
yes,
within
sure.
the organization is kind of new, but it really strikes me as being something extremely important.
It really is. First of all, houses of worship and faith-based communities are an important part of our community.
Sure.
But they also have particular needs in emergencies for their own preparedness. They are assembly sites. They often have large populations that might have mobility concerns. So thinking in advance about how do you prepare this particular group for whatever might come, be it a fire or an earthquake, or, you know, what if something happens when kids are separated from parents? And just thinking through all those issues in advance is really important for these groups.
I can really see how all the work you guys are doing with Bainbridge Prepares can really be helpful if there's a major event, but also if there's a smaller event that needs attention.
Oh, for sure. And in, you know, houses of worship as well, for example, they have, you know, small events that they need to, being organized, how do you respond if you have someone come in who, or you know, a small fire, or, you know, a car catches fire in your parking lot?
Yeah.
Just knowing what to do, what's safe, what's not safe, how do we interact with the city most efficiently? How do we keep our people safe? And for all of us, it's good to think through those things in advance so that when it happens, we're ready.
If we have somebody listening and wants to get involved with what you're doing with the congregations, how do they do that?
Yeah, so I would recommend they go to the Bainbridge Prepares website, and mm-hmm. we have a good place to start is the Ready Congregations team page on the website.
Oh,
and
great.
We have a list there of sort of 8 ways to get started. And it ranges from super easy things that you can do in your congregation to much more complicated things. So, for example, on the easy end would be do an earthquake drill. Those are not that hard to organize,
yeah.
and they don't take very much time, but it sure helps if when the ground starts shaking.
Yeah.
Many of us haven't done drills like that since we were in high school or maybe even earlier. So that kind of thing it's low-hanging fruit. On the other end of the spectrum, you could do a very comprehensive emergency plan where you think through everything that might happen and everything that your community would do. Or you could tackle some houses of worship are, you know, they are assembly buildings, which means they have larger spaces. So some of them, especially in older buildings, might have structural issues that are, you yeah. know, they're there, but they're intimidating because they're difficult and expensive to deal with.
Sure.
So, you know, but pretending it's not there is not how it's going to get solved. So sometimes it's just, you know, taking a long timeline to figure out what do we as a community do to address this risk? So start at our website. Our email is on there. And we're happy to hold your hand with whatever level of activity you're ready to get started with. But in addition, we are starting this year. Hopefully COVID will allow us. We plan to have an annual workshop in the fall.
Oh.
Where we invite congregations to all gather together and talk about this issue and what they're doing, share tips among each other. We'll share information that could be useful to groups. And it also can be sort of an annual check-in, because emergency preparedness, it's not a one-and-done thing. It's you have to maintain it over time.
Sure.
And so it's sort of a way to make it easy for congregations to check in, like, what have we done? Oh, did the person who coordinated that for us, they moved, we need a new person, or, you know, we need to replenish
yeah.
our emergency with supplies, that kind of thing. So we'll be holding an annual event in every fall, and hopefully this fall.
Well, it sounds like a great movement and an important part of the process, for sure. Yeah, being addressed here. Well, Anne and Laura, have we covered the basis?
I think so, yeah.
yeah.
I think all I would add is, as listeners are listening to, hopefully, you know, all of the different sessions, BainbridgePrepares.org is a really great resource for personal preparedness, information on all of our different teams. And then there is a formal process to become a volunteer. If anyone listening wants to join our team, there is a specialized team for just about everything. So we have Ready Congregations, we have Medical Reserve Corps, we have Animal Care, the list goes on and on. And so if folks are interested in that, look at the website, look at how do I volunteer, and sign up and join our group of 650 and growing volunteers from the community.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and I think one of the things the COVID vaccine clinics really showed is that it's very meaningful. When things are going wrong, it's a very meaningful experience to be there helping your community get back on its feet and get on the way to normal again. So,
absolutely. Well, Laura and Anne, thank you so much for being with us today on What's Up Bainbridge and broadening our horizons.
Yeah, thanks for having
you.
Us.
It's been a lot of fun. And thank you for listening to this episode of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.